0-2 from Miller to Rivera. Mason will deliver, and a swing and a miss! An immaculate inning for Mason Miller! And he did it on all sliders. Just the second immaculate inning in Padre history, and they have both come against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, that was fun. That part was definitely fun. I told you a couple of weeks ago, Scrammy, Major League Baseball should absolutely just outlaw his slider. It's totally unfair when the guy's throwing 105 miles an hour and then breaks off that slider. Orioles had no chance against it. Unfortunately, Nestor Cortez was not throwing that slider. And he didn't have the same arsenal as Mason Miller did. We welcome you into an abridged edition of Gwynn and Chris for this Wednesday post-game show. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., he's idle. I think he's... is he even in town?
No, he's not.
I believe he's...
And yes, all the questions yesterday, Tony, is not on the broadcast for the rest of the week.
Yeah, and that's just scheduled. That's scheduled,
yes.
Scheduled maintenance, as
yes,
it were. So,
yes.
I think Tony, you know, I just want to say, in general saying, Tony's daughters are really talented soccer players.
Yes, they
and they're
are.
Getting recruited all over the country.
Yes, they are.
And say what you will about Mr. T. Gwynn J., he's an excellent dad.
Yes, he is.
And he wants to be with his daughters through this recruiting process. So we understand that. We miss him, but we are here until 7 o'clock, a bonus hour of it.
I don't think he minds missing days like today.
You know, yeah, right. I thought long and hard about coming in
me
myself.
Too. Yeah, me too. As I was driving down and I heard the third home run go out of the park, I was like, do I even want to go to work today?
You know, on the second home run, I had a bit of a scratchy throat. So just imagine what happened on the third home run. Yeah, the Orioles win it again, 7-5. They sweep the Padres, and the Padres fall, at least for the time being, another half game back of the Dodgers in the National League West. Give you just a little good news for the moment. The Dodgers are losing in Pittsburgh 2-0. I can't see what inning that is. Fifth inning, I believe. In
that
Pittsburgh.
Is a very weird score.
It's not a good
bug.
Score graphic. Yeah, it's hard to see. 2-0, Pittsburgh. Ohtani was supposed to start this game for the Dodgers tonight. He wasn't feeling 100%, so they scratched him from the start as far as on the mound, but he is in the lineup as a DH. Right now, Pirates lead 2-0. But that really is neither here nor there, because if the Padres don't win another game, then the Dodgers have already clinched the NL West, right? It's over.
Yeah.
So right now, obviously, it's all about the Padres and trying to get out of this. And I looked this up, Scraby, and I did my best to make sure of this. But currently, the Padres have lost 8 out of 10 games for the first and only time so far this season. So they picked a really lousy time to have this happen.
That actually makes me feel a little bit better. I don't know why.
They've had a couple of 7 out of 9s, but this is the first 8 out of 10 that I could find going back through the schedule so far this season. And of course, it coincides with the day that they beat the Dodgers on a Saturday and went one game ahead into first place. And since then, it has been one thing after another. Today's game, we're going to go through it all on Notes on a Scorecard in just a little while. Obviously, it won't be a very happy Notes on a Scorecard. There's not a lot of good stuff to report. But, you know, I know everybody's thinking a lot of different things right now. And I hate to tell you, but right now, the 8 out of 10, the getting swept by Baltimore, the playing pretty poorly in Minnesota, it doesn't really have to do with the lineup construction. I know everybody's talking about this guy ought to bat here and that guy to be in the lineup there. And
that's misplaced frustration.
The lineup construction. It has nothing to do with bullpen usage. You should bring this guy in. You should bring that guy in. That guy's got a rest. He needs to be matched up against him. It really doesn't even have that much to do with, you know, fielding and not making plays, which I will tell you, they haven't been doing a good job of. Jake Cronenworth, very uncharacteristically.
Yeah.
That's not the first time he's kicked one in this recent stretch last night.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, that was huge. All right. It really doesn't have anything to do with that, because teams make misplays, both for and against you. It doesn't have to do with any umpiring. Mm-mm. The umpiring has been good. It's been bad. They've got calls. They've missed calls. Some have gone in the Padres' favor. Some have gone the other way. It only has to do with one thing. The rest of it right now, you can toss out. And you can toss out all of your analytics as well. Because analytics and everything else can't fix the fact that right now the Padres' starting pitching is a disaster. And as long as it is a disaster, I don't really think it's going to matter what they do. They're not going to win a game until somebody goes out there and gives them a decent start.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through it. I'm sure a lot of people in the media have. You'll probably be reading it tomorrow in the paper. But during this 10-game stretch in which they're lost eight, starting pitching, 38 and a third innings. Let's just start there. In 10 games, they've pitched 38 and a third innings. That doesn't even average 4 innings per start. Now, I will admit that that includes the opener game where David Morgan only pitched 2 innings. But even if you take that out, they pitched 36 innings in 9 games, which is exactly 4 per game. That won't get it done. In those 38 and a third innings, they've allowed 61 base runners. All of a sudden, the Padres either can't get anybody out or can't throw a strike. And we're going to get into that much more in the notes on a scorecard. But 61 base runners for a 1.6 whip, which is Colorado Rockies-like. And then the ERA, they've given up 29 runs for an ERA of 6.81. Now, a 10-game stretch doesn't make a season. What I'm trying to point out is, though, you want to worry about all the other stuff. You want to complain about Mike Schilt. You want to complain that AJ got the wrong people. You want to complain that they're playing people who they traded for and that the organization is messed up. You want to blame the fans. You want to put it on the radio show hosts. We got big shoulders. But the bottom line is, if they don't get starting pitching, it doesn't matter. The 27 Yankees would have lost 8 of these last 10 games. Scraby, they're behind before they come to bat every game.
I'm aware.
Right, and they're aware. And you just can't win like that in Major League Baseball. And, you know, I'm going to put it, you know, give you a couple more statistics to support this notion that the starting pitching needs to be fixed right now. And, I mean, I'm not telling anything that people aren't noticing. I'm just trying to underscore the problem here.
Yeah.
Teams that allow – let me put it a different way. The Padres' record this year, when they give up the first run of the game, is 29 wins and 35 losses. When the other team scores first.
Better than I thought, honestly.
You want to know how good it is? It's the best record in baseball.
No way.
No team is anywhere close to 500 when they in games that they give up the first run. Furthermore, you have to go back to, I don't know if you, well, you might have just been out of the crib, Scraby. You got to go back to the 2004 Giants. I know, you're a little older.
I was 19.
Yeah,
I know.
19. You got to go back to the 2004 Giants. They are the last team anywhere in baseball that had a winning record for a season in games that the other team scored first. So teams generally do not win when they allow the other team to score first. The Padres are 29 and 35, and that's the best record in all of baseball. So you got to start scoring first. And when you're at home, that means giving your team a chance to score first.
Yeah.
You have to get the guys out in the top of the inning so you can score first.
I got to go through and
that's just not, obviously, isn't happening. So, that's it. I we can go through all this other stuff, and we will in the notes on a scorecard. We'll look at a lot of things, and we can blame this player and that player and this manager and that. But to me, it's all kind of a moot point right now. Do you see anything different?
And the one thing that I think fans are going to blame the manager. Fans are going to blame the coaches.
They're going to blame the organization right now. Why are we starting Nestor Cortes?
Yes.
Why are we
yes.
starting JP
yes.
Sears?
And I think those are fair. I think those are fair because
I understand it to a point because there's a guy that is sitting in the minor leagues who we complained a lot about this year. in Randy Vasquez,
yeah,
who simply has been better than what we've seen from these two guys.
I agree.
He just has been. I'm not, this isn't an opinion. That's just the way it is.
It is the way it is.
Right?
And right now, you need to bring him back. You need to put, because they don't have the starting pitching that anyone is confident in right now outside of maybe Nick Pivetta. And even then, Nick Pivetta's start the other day was kind, I mean, he gave
for
up
him,
two runs, but for him, it was kind of suspect. And you cannot start Nestor Cortez anymore. If you want to use him out of the bullpen, but you cannot give up as many home runs as Nestor Cortez does to start games, because it is just putting the team way behind really early, and you can't win Major League Baseball games when you're down 7-0 after three innings. Just not something you usually do.
Nestor Cortez, today, 2 1/3 innings, 6 runs, allowed... what was it, 4 home runs today?
Mm-hmm.
Last time at Minnesota, 3 innings, 3 runs, but you're looking at another 7-8 base runners before he was actually ejected
while he was
being taken out
of
that
weird.
Game.
Yeah, but yeah.
He had the one great start against the Dodgers. Can't take that away. It was brilliant. It's the last time the Padres even had a quality start. Before that, 5 2/3 innings, 4 runs in San Francisco. Gave up 3 home runs in that game. He hasn't pitched well. He has not pitched well. It's been pretty evident to me. The 3 home runs he gave up in a row today, not the first time that's happened this season.
No.
He gave up 3 home runs to the very first 3 batters he faced this year.
Yeah.
When he was with the Brewers. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. I really am a fan already
great
of
dude.
Nestor Cortez, nasty Nestor, but
he's not nasty.
We don't have time right now to like guys or dislike guys, right? To me, you got to get the guys in you feel have the best chance to do the job. I don't feel comfortable with Cortez. I don't feel comfortable with Sears. I don't feel 100% with Vasquez. Nobody's complained about him more than me, right? But the results say that he's been more capable of going 5 innings and limiting the damage than these two guys have.
Outside of Pivetta, Randy Vasquez might be the second best pitcher starter they have right now.
Yeah.
Because Michael King, obviously he's injured, but he disappeared from this team.
That might be overstating it, but I know what you're getting at.
He did disappear because he was hurt. And so
Cease's
I know you can't handle that. Cease isn't pitching well.
Darvish is a hit and miss. Yeah, you're right.
I think this game sort of broke me.
I get it.
And I have a deep dive in stats that I want to go through a little bit later, because some of the stats that the Padres are putting up right now in the last like 10, maybe 2 weeks are awful.
Yeah, they're not great.
Awful.
Yeah, they're not stats of a team that you have a lot of confidence in.
What about Matt Waldron? Why not him?
Okay.
He made one start this year.
I would rather see
Matt Waldron over J.P. Sears.
You know, called me today, Randy Jones. Maybe we dust him off.
Matt Waldron is a... He was a big part of last year. They gave him one start.
Okay.
But I am done.
Okay.
I am done with getting swept by the Orioles. The first time the Orioles have ever swept an NL West team on the road in franchise history.
Yeah, well, get used to it. Unfortunately, the Padres, another thing that we didn't point out, and this is all statistical, but the Padres have been a downright disaster against the American League this year. They have been swept by the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Mariners, and now the Orioles.
Yeah.
The Padres are 18-27, a winning percentage of .400 against the American League. That winning percentage would have them only better than 2 teams in all of baseball. They have not been able to beat the American League. Now, the good news is they only have one series left, and it's against the White Sox of all teams. But I'll be honest with you, I don't feel great about it, because they just, for whatever reason, are not beating the American League. I don't know how you can possibly analytically tear that apart, but it just is what it is this year.
Matt Waldron's getting crushed in the chat for my suggestion, but did everybody forget that Matt Waldron was decent last year? I mean, I'm not saying that Matt Waldron's the answer.
I don't think Matt Waldron is going to be the answer.
But I will say this, Chris.
I don't think it's fair to put Matt Waldron, you know, after a season in the minor leagues and say, you got September starts with the season on the line.
All right, that's fair.
But I don't think it's unfair to take a look at Vasquez right now again.
All right, San Diego.
I don't think that's unfair.
On Friday night, they're facing Kyle Freeland. They have a TBD. That TBD better be replaced by Randy Vasquez.
I will say this.
We need a move now.
Okay, well, you have spoken, and we'll see where that goes. I will say this, Scrabe. That TBD right now is the most important
TBD
person
of the
in the
year.
Padre organization, because that TBD has got to somehow give them a good game. I don't care if it's in Coors Field. They have to find a way to get six innings, not throw 180 pitches, and give the Padres a chance to at least, you know, have a look at the game and try to get a win there.
Do you think
that's obviously desperation?
Do you think at this point it is there needs to be a little bit of a sense of urgency from this organization to try to stack some wins here?
Let's talk about that when we come back, because I do want to talk about the urgency. I want to talk about the attitude of the Padres and whether they care and whether they're rolling over and whether Manny's given up the seat. I mean, I've read all of this stuff. So let's address some of that when we come back. We are underway for our short Wednesday post-game get-together. We do have some fun stuff. Notes on a scorecard at the bottom of the hour. That will go, you know, a little more in-depth into everything that happened in the game today. We will, Scraby says we will have a Chris versus the fans.
We need to play today.
Special time today at 6 p.m.
Yes.
For a little trivia. Okay, that's good. And then after that, we're going to have Scraby's statistical deep dive.
Yes.
I don't know what that is, but I can't wait for it.
I got so angry when I was, I got here, I was like, I'm going through everything since they lost to the Dodgers on that Sunday, and we're going to talk about it.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that deep dive. We're also going to preview the NFC and AFC North. Remember that we are on the eve of the start of the NFL season, which is crazy right now.
Oh, Roger Goodell making big news, saying that Taylor Swift maybe is the Super Bowl halftime show.
I guess that's big news,
That's what I saw on today's show this morning.
Doesn't quite register on my radar.
No,
but
that's where the NFL is at right now. They're going to take every Taylor Swift thing mention they can get.
All right. Will she be in Brazil for the game Friday
night?
Oh,
you know she will.
Really?
I don't think she's on tour. Sure?
Okay. Well, that's where her honey opens on Friday night.
She's got the money.
She can afford it, yes. All right, it's Chris Ello. It's Scraby over there. Nobody's feeling too good about things right now, so we will swim around in our misery together here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm miserable. Scraby's miserable.
I'm miserable.
I imagine many of you are similar to miserable. 5:24 is the time, a special post-game edition of Gwen and Chris. We'll take it an extra hour tonight until 7 o'clock. This, though, is the happy hour. It is brought to you, as happy as things can be.
Yes.
It's brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season's in full swing. So is swim season. Call GL Pools. Mention the word radio. You will get a free month of pool service. Maybe you do that today, because that would be something that would be good that could happen. Right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
A month of free pool service will help.
Do something that could be good.
It'll put a smile on your face for a second.
It very well could. Pittsburgh 2, Dodgers nothing. Top of the sixth. 7-5 was the final today. The Orioles sweep the series. They are the third, or is it fourth? Tampa Bay came here, swept. Seattle came here and swept. Baltimore came here and swept. So three American League teams have come in here this year and swept. It just makes no sense, but like I said, maybe we'll just skate right through the National League in the playoffs and then have to try to figure it out in the World Series if we can beat an American League team. But the National League really hasn't been that much of a problem, comparatively anyway.
It's crazy because they're still...
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
They're still in a good playoff spot, but it just does not feel like they're heading that way right now.
Yes, they're still 4.5 games clear.
That's not a lot.
I beg your pardon. 5.5 games clear.
Okay.
Of both the Reds and the Giants. Now the Giants have moved back into the
contention.
On the cusp of conversation. All right, here's what Kevin Acey put together, and then Scraby relayed to me. And these are teams that, what, Scraby, all ended up in the World Series.
All ended up in the World Series after having a nine-game streak.
A mess of a stretch in September.
Yes.
For instance, last year's Dodgers lost 6 of 9 in mid-September. That's not that bad. 2023 Rangers won the World Series, but they opened September by going 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies of 2022 got to the World Series despite losing 10 of 13 in September. It kind of goes on and on. The worst one on here is the 2017 Dodgers, who went to the World Series despite an 11-game losing streak in September.
This did make me feel a little bit better this morning.
Maybe this will all make everybody feel a little bit better. Yeah, hopefully this will just be a footnote when all is said and done.
The 2015 Royals, in the final month, basically, from September 4th through the 29th, they went 8-16. They won the World Series.
Yeah, right. So hopefully this will just be a footnote. But for the time being, it's hardly a footnote. It is out and out kind of a disaster. So is there urgency?
Yeah.
You asked.
Yes. Does the team have urgency right now?
Yeah, I think urgency goes along with, do they care and do they have desire and are they trying?
Yes.
Okay? Because I don't see how any team wouldn't have a certain amount of urgency, no matter what sport you're playing. I think it's fun to talk about as a fan and go, we're going into Colorado Friday. We have to win. Yeah, I know. But I'm pretty sure they're going into Colorado Friday thinking, yeah, we really got to win.
I think they're starting to feel it.
Okay, so I think there will be urgency if that's your definition of urgency. My definition of urgency is, are they playing? Are they showing up? Are they posting? And I think all you need to do, and here comes, you know, here comes my paycheck from the Padres. But the fact they were down 7-0 in the sixth inning today, and got back into the game and had two or three chances with, you know, the tying runs up at the plate and batting and et cetera. I don't know. Doesn't that tell you? I mean,
I think
they were
down
7-0. The game was over. Yet they got 4. They got 5. They got close. They got some more rallies. I think this notion that they don't care. I've read, you know, well, Manny's packed it in. Well, look, the home run he hit today was only a second since the end of July. So, okay, he's been not Manny. But, I mean, are you kidding me? Manny Machado is going to probably be in the Hall of Fame? You think he's just kind of coasting it in right here?
Well, there's one thing I've learned about Manny, and it's that he cares very much about the game,
you know,
of baseball.
I can't go there. I love to kind of argue with some of the, you know, the Twitter stuff and some of the people, but I can't even consider the fact that this team all of a sudden, after caring apparently for the first 138 games of the season, has just stopped caring the last 10. It's really hard to believe.
And I really do buy into the fact that these guys want to be, they don't want to be the laughing stock of baseball. They want to be able to, you know, stand by or stand tall for their name, and they want to be able to play well. And I don't think that they have, they're not caring. That's not what I think at all.
While,
I think they do care, and I think it hurts them much more than we think it does when they lose games.
It hurts them less than it hurts us, actually.
Really? After being swept by the Orioles, they're not sitting on the bus right now flying to Colorado being like, oh, that was bad.
I doubt it. I really doubt that they're sitting on there wallowing.
I don't think they're wallowing. I think they're thinking that was bad.
I don't think they have boomboxes playing that he plays anymore.
No.
But you know what I mean? They're not celebrating.
They're not dancing around on the plane.
It's not going to be a loud, you know, exciting flight to Colorado. But it's going to be like a lot of the other flights. Such is the way baseball is. Now,
you're right in a way. Yeah.
I know that what you want out there, and I want, and Scraby wants, is you want somebody to stand up in the middle of the flight to Colorado
and give some speech.
Grab the microphone from the flight stewardess or the deck, you know, the captain, and say, attention, this is Will Wagner. Let's go.
I don't think Will Wagner's the guy to deliver that message.
We got to get our act together, guys. This is all getting away from us. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, I know we would want to do it, right? If you were on the flight, you'd be tempted, wouldn't you?
You know? Yeah, I would be tempted. Yeah. But I think that, you know, let's not even get started on Will Wagner. I'm not sure why.
Well, we'll get into him in the notes on the scorecard. Okay. It's all coming up in the notes on the scorecard.
All right, there's another thing. You know, I guess I'll just wait till later.
Wait
but
on
there's
Will Wagner.
So
wait.
Many things that I think wait this team needs to be doing right now.
Wait to your stats deep dive. You're going to get your chance. Right now, we're talking about whether or not you were on the team flight to Colorado and somebody just happened to fumble the microphone in your lap. Would you turn it on and say, come on! Let's go!
I don't think I would do it like that, but I would.
I'm going to admit to this.
Uh-oh.
I've been doing the women's basketball for 100 years. I often come back with our PR guy, Ben Pearson, after a game on the road. And we will commiserate to each other. And we will say something along the lines of, you know, I think we're hurting more than they are after that loss. It's a common feeling, actually. The players play. They can go out and do something about it. They have another game to look forward to. We are fans. We sit there and we wear it.
Yep.
They don't. They don't have time to wear it.
And I think that's also a good thing. Because if they're worried like we are, then they're going to play worried, and that's not a good thing. This team knows that they can win games. They just haven't been able to do it lately. And I just, you know, it also bothers me when they're going up against teams, A, that are not very good, and pitchers that aren't very good. The guy who started today, not a good pitcher. Not a good pitcher. And they got to him late.
Yeah,
but those are the games that frustrate me the most when it's a good matchup for the hitters of this team.
Should win.
And you should win. And Dylan Cease on Monday, giving up only two runs, that's a game that they could win as well.
They should have. They should have won that game. That was a battle of the bullpens from the fifth inning on. They lost to the Baltimore bullpen. That shouldn't happen. But it does, unfortunately. More Gwen and Chris coming up. Notes on a scorecard. We're going to dive a little deeper into the stuff you want to dive into, Scraby. It's next on 97.3 The Fan.
3-2 in the air up the left field line. Laureano going back towards the corner. He is on the move. He leaps up. Oh, he went over the wall. And he got it. A catch. Oh, what a catch. Laureano took a home run away over the little wall in the left field corner. And two down here in the ninth as Couser tips his cap to his former teammate. Hang a big old star.
That was a really awesome catch. I know it's hard to find anything bright, you know, in losing 8 out of 10 and getting swept by the Orioles, but Mason Miller throwing an immaculate inning. I got to be honest with you, if you're at the game today, you saw something that very few people get to see. There's been about as many immaculate innings in baseball history as there have been no-hitters. There just aren't many. The Padres have only had 2 no-hitters, and now they've had 2 immaculate innings. We went through this a while ago, Scrape. I don't know if you remember. We actually looked it up. Brian Lawrence, the old right-hander, 2002,
had been the
first and only Padre until Mason Miller did that today. And then that catch by Laureano, that's as good as any you're going to see by a left fielder.
Did you also know that it came against the Orioles? So both immaculate innings have come against the Orioles
and you know what else happened?
What?
Ramon Laureano's catch today. That was against the Orioles as well.
Yes.
Okay, so that's good.
Yes, but I think it's kind of, if there's less perfect games than immaculate innings, or whatever you said, and both of the Padres happened against the Orioles, I think that's
a weird
stat.
All right, the immaculate inning actually has only been accomplished 114 times. There have been well over 300 no-hitters. So, yeah, it's far more rare than a no-hitter. So that was pretty fun. All right, let me get some notes on a scorecard after we check you a little traffic.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a scorecard starts now.
All right, the notes on the scorecard, we do it after most day games. I sit there, I watch the game, I write a bunch of crazy notes on my scorecard, or in this case, my wife's grocery list. First thing I wrote today, Scraby, allow the first run of the game. The Padres are 29 and 34. They've lost six of their last. And then before I finish the sentence, home run Jackson Holliday. They were down 1-0. Before I could even write the fact that they needed to not fall behind today. Like, I didn't even
so
get
it's your
it written.
Fault.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Most everything is
right.
And has been. You can go on and on about all of these statistics about starting pitching, but Nestor Cortes didn't do anything to change it. The first inning, it almost came apart from there.
Yep.
Bases were loaded, one out. He threw that 3-2 pitch to, of all people, Colton Cowser. And for one of the rare times, Don Orsillo and Mark Grant both got fooled by the home plate umpire. They both said ball four.
Jesse was fooled too because
Jesse too.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was. The home plate umpire just didn't do anything, and then all of a sudden went strike three, and everybody was like, "What? What happened there?"
Yeah, that is
so
weird. That is totally weird.
And then they showed the replay of the pitch. It was a strike by like a fingernail. So it wasn't a bad call. But he was that close, Cortes, to being pretty much out of it in the first inning. And then, you know, this compounds it. You only give up the one run in the top of the first. But then, you know, you talk about the guy, Povich.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Maury Povich? Or
I meant to make that joke earlier, but you beat me to it.
I beat you to it. I've never heard of this guy, but a 12-pitch inning, he strikes out Fernando and Manny, and then the Orioles are right back up. Like, that's kind of the way it's been going.
Yep.
By the second inning, Elias Diaz couldn't make a play on a little swinging bunt. Kind of been part of it. It didn't give up any runs, but it made Cortes throw more pitches, which the Padres can't afford. I thought Jackson Merrill in the bottom of the second rolled over on a ground ball, and I thought, you know, Tony was right the other day. We argued about whether Merrill should have been playing. He just didn't look right at the plate. I mean, when he's just rolling over, easy ground balls to second base.
This is definitely a sophomore slump, and I know that he's had some weird injuries this year too, but he started the season
This ankle has not helped him. He did hit a nice hard line drive to left field in the fourth inning, which I hope was a good sign. We'll see. Third inning, you got to stop walking people to lead off an inning. And then the next guy, Rivera, hits a line drive right past the head of Nestor Cortes. So I wrote this down. You think a pitcher in Major League Baseball would ever wear one of those masks? You know, like the women do in softball, college softball, they all wear a mask now.
The pitcher, you said?
The pitchers do. They wear those little masks when they pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
No.
Do you think you'll ever see it in Major League
Baseball? No, we've said this before.
It's just too cool, right? You can't do it even if it's smart.
I bet you it's also, like, uncomfortable.
I would think you can't even design a mask that wouldn't jar just, too much.
Just put like put like a mask like they do in basketball where it's like
face. Yeah, well, I don't know. You look like the Phantom of the Opera out there.
Yes, that's what I was looking for.
And the walk, by the way, made it 10 walks to the Orioles in the series, one for the Padres. You know, that's even when you're playing well, you're not going to win games with that disparity. That means you're walking too many, and you're also not drawing walks. That's both ways.
Yep.
And then by the time I wrote, Cowser had hit a three-run homer, Colby Mayo had hit one, and Jackson had hit one, and Mike Schilt was at the mound, and that was it. Pretty much 6-0. I even wrote that maybe Cortes would have to wear one today because they just couldn't afford to go through 9 innings of the bullpen. Fortunately, they just added the added pitcher, so Sean Reynolds was able to pitch. But then he comes in and he walks the first two guys. I'm like, it's just a downer. You give up one run out of it and you say no big deal, but it's a downer as a player, as a fan, as a broadcaster, as anything. You're like, okay, 6-0, we're out of it, but let's just set them down and get up to the plate, walk. And you're like, here we go again. Next inning, walk to lead off the inning. Fifth inning, walk to lead off the inning. It's just annoying. It gets annoying.
Annoying is the right word.
It is. And then, I don't want to pick on Sean Reynolds. I mean, mid reliever here. But when you walk a guy, you also can't just fall asleep and let him steal second without a throw. These are mistakes that losing teams make, not winning playoff teams
you're right.
make.
You're
and,
right.
Um, You know, that bothers me. All right, top of the fifth. At long last, something positive. It took a while. Sean Reynolds, yeah, thank you. Sean Reynolds made a really nice play on that line drive.
Oh, he did,
his glove on it.
Totally.
And then threw the guy out. So I wrote that
down.
And I go, yeah, exactly. I go, this is the first thumbs up of the day. And then the bottom of the fifth. One out, right? Glacius gets a double. Diaz gets a single. By the way, Diaz is going
to
start playing more because he's hitting, and Fermin really hasn't
been. Fermin had two doubles last night.
He did. But anyway, first and third, one out. Okay, top of the order. We're getting back in the game.
Here we go.
Before you could even sit up in your seat, double play, inning over.
Mm.
That's what happens when you're losing 8 out of 10.
Yes, it is.
Fernando, hard ground ball. Could have gone in the hole and kept the rally going. Instead, double play. Sixth inning, Arise gets his 1,001st hit. It went without notice last night, and I'm done talking about Arise to you fans out there. If you hate him, you're gonna keep hating him no matter what I say. But 1,000 hits in 800 games, which like fifth best in the history of the game, it deserves a mention at least from me. He had another hit here, and then Manny demolish that one.
Yes, he did.
All right. So now 7-2.
And I do understand that some people are saying, like, Manny's just a garbage time hitter.
Oh, come on.
Which is not true. But
no, we've gone through this.
I can see why people feel that way. But you have to start a comeback somehow.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they had won the game right today, then would you have called his home run a garbage
time
home
run? I'm not calling it a garbage time
home
run.
No, but I'm pointing that out.
Yeah, probably they would.
You can't choose. Right, they would. But you can't choose what's a garbage time home run. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's 7-0.
Still a home run.
You hit a 7-0 and you homer 7-2. You win the game. That was a pretty big home run.
It was.
But if you lose the game 11-2... Then it was a garbage home run, but it's the same home run.
It is.
Anyway, we've gone through that with Manny, so I'm not going to even get into that. Next up, Ryan O'Hearn, infield single. Another hit against the lefty. Thank you, Ryan O'Hearn.
A lot in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he just keeps getting hits off lefties. And then, let's see, Laureano. At the walk, you got two on, nobody out. Jackson comes up. 2-2 pitch, strike three. Except they don't call it.
I know.
They call it a ball.
Yeah.
He ends up walking to load the bases. Now you're thinking, maybe it's going to be our day at long last.
I'm almost afraid when the bases are loaded at this point.
Right now, yeah. Well, first Cronenworth gets an infield single to keep it going.
Yep.
And then the first pitch to Iglesias. I want you to go back if you have a chance to look at it tonight. You know, if you have it somewhere. You know, they have these websites now, right? You can call up any at bat, right?
Yeah.
I want you to look at the first pitch to Iglesias with the bases loaded there in the fifth inning.
All right, let me go get it. Real quick.
You can get it. All right, if you can get it.
Well, it's not going to be a video.
Be
I'm just going
to
go look at the. I'm
you
just
going to
go
at
look
it?
At the.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a fastball center cut, and I mean center cut.
What inning was this again?
This is the bottom of the fifth when the Padres scored, or maybe the sixth.
All right,
yeah,
I'm
sixth.
Looking, okay.
When they made it 7-4, the bases were loaded, nobody was out, and Iglesias was up. It was 7-3. So he was the tying run. The first pitch was a meatball. And I mean meat.
It's top of the zone, but it's there.
It's center cut.
It's there.
And Iglesias takes a hack.
Yeah.
Fouls it straight back. Now, I don't know. I'm not Tony Gwynn Jr. I'm not Rod Carew. I'm not any of these guys. But I've been taught that when you see a ball get fouled straight back, that means the guy was
on it.
Right on
yep.
it. And he just missed it.
Yep.
Of course, the next pitch, he didn't do a double play.
I know.
You know, I mean, to me, he was that close to maybe hitting a grand slam. I mean, he had that swing. The pitch was right there. He just missed it. And by the time that was over, double play, and you end up 7-4.
Chris, this is what really, 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 really bothers me.
Yeah?
When they get guys on base with no outs, it's almost like they have two outs already. Because I know I'm mixing everything together, but it just feels like every time they get guys on base with no outs, it ends up no run scored or one run scored.
Eight out of ten. That's how you lose. 8 out of 10. Top of the seventh, Estrada comes in. Oh, good. We finally got one of our good pitchers in. First guy, walk. I mean, like, he got out of the inning, but took 22 pitches. To me, that's a big inning. You just scored four to get back in the game. You want your pitcher to go out there, four, five, six pitches, so you can come right back up. Instead of Estrada labored through the inning, he got out of it, but kind of the momentum went away on that walk. I didn't mention Fernando. You know, he was in an 0 for 10, conks the home run. We've seen a little bit, you know, of that from Fernando, and that's a good sign going forward.
It is.
We've talked at length about Miller's incredible, immaculate inning. The other thing about the immaculate inning, when was the last time this guy pitched?
Mason Miller,
in a game,
I think,
for a
Saturday
week.
Maybe?
I mean, yeah. I thought he'd be a little rusty, maybe.
Let me see when he last
pitched. Hardly rusty.
He last pitched on August 31st, so that would have been Saturday or Sunday. Sunday.
Oh, he pitched Sunday? Okay. Well, I thought it had been longer. But anyway.
But before then, he hadn't pitched since Seattle.
All right. So it was.
So yeah, he's had two outings since August 26th.
Okay. Fair enough. But he didn't look rusty, of course. Liriano led off the eighth with a single. Bottom of the order is coming up. I wrote down Gavin Sheets absolutely has to pinch hit in this inning. You've got him there. There's nothing to hold him for. Can't bring him up in the ninth. You got to bring him up now with a chance to tie the game. And they did.
Yep.
The managing was perfect there, you know. But Jake took strike two, strike three. Sheets took a good hack, foul tipped it. Catcher made a ridiculous play by getting the ball to stick in his glove so that it didn't touch the dirt.
Yep.
And the umpire, same ump, actually looked at the ball. Did you see that?
I did see that.
And he's like, no, there's no dirt on this. I got to call it a strikeout. And Mike Shildt argued, but he didn't really have much of an argument. Ball didn't hit the dirt. There would have been a mark on the ball.
I didn't know that you could go to the ball to see.
Why not? Don't see why not.
That seems a little weird to me, but.
All right. It finished up with the Laureano incredible catch in the ninth. And then bottom of the ninth, of course, Mudcat went with the old, hey, all we need is a bloop and a blast.
It's true.
It's true, but it never seems to happen.
It never seems to happen.
And I'll tell you, Cano came in there. His pitches were moving all over the place. I don't even know how. Wagner and Tatis didn't hit it. Rise at least hit it, but grounded out. So,
oh,
there's your notes on the scorecard.
Yes,
for today.
I feel like Luis Arraez has ended the game a lot lately.
Oh, of course he has. Believe me, ever since I stuck up for him, he's a disaster. Everything is a disaster.
We'll be back
soon. Except the bonus hour of Gwen and Chris.